tripped in towards Lewandowski!
Magnificent from Cristiano Ronaldo!
Harry Kane, 1-0 England!
Ibrahimovic! Oh, he certainly made the most of that!
You're listening to the official UEFA Euro 2016 podcast.
Welcome to our show from Paris. I'm Rob Daly. We're talking about the round of 16 lineup of UEFA Euro 2016. Today on the podcast, we hear from Joe Hart, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and Iceland star Gylfi Sigurdsson.
It's fantastic to play a team like England. And we said that when we've seen how the group stages work, if we were to get to England, it would be the perfect game.
Journalists Chris Parrott and Tom Kell are here to look ahead to the next games and reflect on a thrilling group stage finale.
It's wonderful! It's fantastic! It's Brady for Ireland!
Here is Perisic. Oh, he scored!
Nainggolan! Bolter!
It's Ronaldo!
And we'll speak to our team of journalists across France, based with national teams, on the UEFA Euro 2016 podcast. Welcome to episode 4 of the podcast. And we also are in the iTunes charts as well. The third edition of the show, Chris Parrott, is punching the air at the moment. If you do want to leave us a review as well, that really helps us out and helps us stay in the podcast charts until the end of the tournament. Tom Kell, let's talk about what we've seen in terms of qualification for the round of 16, because, I mean, would it be fair to say that there's quite a few surprising nations have got it to the knockout stage?
Absolutely, Rob. I think some of the teams that perhaps it was a surprise for them even to make it to the tournament, and some of them have got into the last 16. I mean, Iceland, I think, are the obvious ones. You know, the way they wrapped up second place was absolutely incredible on Wednesday. Same with Ireland, I think, was perhaps not as big a surprise, but they were in a very tricky group, and for them to get through was amazing, and they did it in sensational fashion. And obviously Hungary and Northern Ireland as well. Even Northern Ireland, I went to the Germany game, and the fact that their fans are staying around for a little longer, I think, is good news for the tournament.
Yeah, and those teams that you mentioned make the draw look fascinating, really, because the top half on paper is so much more favourable than the bottom half. You've got the likes of Germany, Italy, Spain, France and England in one half of the draw, which is amazing. And it means that there's a real opportunity for teams who have never even reached this stage to maybe go on to the last eight, the last four, or even the final.
Tom, talking about Northern Ireland there, you went to the Northern Ireland-Germany game. Did you get swept up in the Will Griggs on fire fever?
I would be lying if I said no, Rob.
Did you sing it at any point?
I may have sung it, yeah.
The words or just the bit where you...
All of it,
the whole shebang.
I love nothing more than a party at a game. Will Griggs, I mean, what a guy. If heaven forbid Will Griggs is actually ever on fire, then no one's going to have a clue, are they?
Everyone's going to lose their mind, because we're still waiting for that first minute of play from him. And there was a great moment where Matt Tummel said that he wanted Will Griggs' shirt as well. But I mean, the Northern Ireland fans, Tom, we'll get onto their upcoming game against Wales shortly, but they've been widely praised by the German supporters in particular for how well they support their team.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually sat next to two German supporters who were humming along by the 60th minute or so. And when I walked round the stadium afterwards, all the Germans were singing it. Stood outside yeah. The bar and they were singing. So it wasn't just the Northern Ireland fans. Germany got the job done on the pitch, but it was Northern Ireland won it off the pitch, I think that's fair to say.
I can add the supporters of Iceland and Austria to that list of fans who are singing Will Griggs on fire as well. I think that we mentioned in the last podcast that the Don't Take Me Home that the England fans have adopted. Those two songs have just swept across France. I've never quite known anything like it.
Okay, well, here's a bit of Will Griggs on fire. If for some reason you still haven't heard it. Chris, it's one of many songs you mentioned a couple there, but there are other songs as well that we're just hearing everywhere in Paris and France at the moment.
Yeah, including the official UEFA Euro 2016 song written by David Guetta, which I went for a swim, came out of the swimming pool, and all I could hear inside the swimming pool was the song, because Aqua Aerobics was going on to it.
Oh, was it? So did you think you were going a bit mad because you'd heard it so much?
Yeah, we hear it a lot in the International Broadcast Centre, and then it was there, and I was like, am I still at work? No, I'm in the swimming pool. But it's definitely hit French society if it's hit the Aqua Aerobics at Piscine Keller near the Eiffel Tower.
I think the only other thing that's in my head as much as that is Rob Daly's voiceover of the official app, which I keep hearing at the stadium.
I've not heard this yet.
Well,
unfortunately. It's pretty good, is it? It's pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, let's talk about football now, at last. People are probably thinking. England-Iceland, and we'll talk about Iceland shortly, but England ended their group stage campaign with a 0-0 draw against Slovakia. It saw Slovakia finish third and earn their place into the round of 16. Tom, Roy Hodgson has big selection headaches. I think he even himself has admitted, and he's put it in a way that he thinks it's a good position to be in, he doesn't quite know what his strongest 11 is at the moment.
Yeah, I think that was probably his justification for making so many changes against Slovakia. I think he was still trying to find things out for himself. It was a brave call. Perhaps in hindsight, looking, as Chris said, looking at one side of the draw that England would have been on if they'd won their group, topping that group would have given them a massive advantage. You know, there's no easy games, of course, but it looks like a much easier route to the last four, at least. And I think, yeah, for the next game, I imagine there's some obvious changes he'll make. He'll obviously bring the likes of Rooney back in and probably both his fullbacks. But I think up front, he still doesn't know how to squeeze in the strikers he wants. And as a result, which midfielders to play behind them and in what system.
I mean, what would you like to see England do for that game? Obviously, this is going to have a massive influence on what does happen.
Well, yeah, I think Roy is probably listening to this and waiting to hear what I say. So I think Sturridge, it's tricky, isn't it? Because he came on against Wales and he changed the game. But I thought the other day against Slovakia, I thought he struggled, didn't really get into the game. I think Harry Kane has got to play. I think he's a target for the midfielders. Vardy, I don't think, again, against Iceland, I don't think he's going to get the kind of space that he wants behind the back four. Iceland have been brilliant, don't get me wrong, but I can't see them taking the game to England particularly. I think Vardy perhaps might be more dangerous against a team that has more of the ball. I think Kane needs to come back, and I think Rooney needs to come back, and I think the fullbacks need to come back, and Dele Alli, for sure, will start.
I'd echo Harry Kane. I think England have played, particularly against Slovakia, where they couldn't break them down against a very defensive unit. Iceland will play exactly the way Slovakia did in the second half. They will sit back really deep and soak up pressure. When Mark Janko came on for Austria, not that he had many chances, but he's a tall target man. That caused them more problems than when they had David Alaba through the middle, which is, he's not the same as Vardy, but he's a similar type, quick player through the middle. So I think England should have some sort of target up front. But I think some England fans were saying, certainly on social media, that maybe as the tournament goes on, our natural game will come out because we'll play against bigger teams who will have more of the ball. Well, in the round of 16, that won't be the case. Iceland will be just as deep as Slovakia and Wales, if not deeper.
Here's what Joe Hart had to say to our reporter, Law James, after the 0-0 draw with Slovakia.
Very frustrating. One-sided game, quite similar to the other two games. Just didn't really take our chances, or we came up with a really strong goalkeeper today and some really heroic defending, but we've dominated all over the pitch and we're looking good as a team. Played a lot of football now, and I've played in a lot of dominant teams over the years, and I've seen results like this happen. It's what happens in football sometimes. But we're focused, we're through to the next round. We've still got our sights set on going a long way in this tournament.
Joe Hart speaking there. Meanwhile, it went right to the wire in Iceland's last group game. It was 1-1 heading into the final minute of added time. Austria needed a goal to go through themselves, and Iceland just not to concede. Chris was in the Stade de France, and this is what happened.
Last over of ice. Alma knocks it long into the Iceland penalty area. Cleared away. The counter-attack's on.
Three against one. It is done and dusted. Traustason made up the ground, and they've not only gone through, they've won the game, Iceland.
I can't imagine. I can express how I feel. I got goosebumps, I almost got tears, I can laugh, I can cry. I don't know, this is a great feeling.
Some England fans will probably think, oh, it's little Iceland, we'll beat them. What would you say to them?
I think they shouldn't underestimate. I mean, we end up second. We didn't lose a game. We haven't lost a game in Euro still. And I think they shouldn't underestimate us. And I think we have a big chance.
Well, Iceland fans might be relatively optimistic.
Yeah, I think that goal, the winning goal for Iceland, that meant that England are now facing Iceland rather than Portugal, that was celebrated by England fans like Wayne Rooney had just scored the winner in the final or something. It was, and I think realistically, it could even pose more of a challenge for them. I mean, the Iceland coach, I think the joint coach actually said afterwards that they don't need to learn anything about England. They know everything that there is to know, which is a very uncoached thing to say.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be really tricky. The back pages back home, I noticed, were saying that how that goal had saved us from Ronaldo and the way that they played, I mean, against Austria. I think the reporter who, our colleague who went to the game, said the thing that really stands out about them is that they just don't look flustered, ever. They're not just a well-organised, plucky side. They're so composed, it's unreal.
They are remarkably savvy for not just a team that are playing in their first major tournament, but many players that are and who don't play for the big clubs, if you like. They Roy Keane spoke about it before Ireland's game against Italy, about needing to be clever, if you like, make those tactical fouls when you need to. Well, Iceland do all of that. They're this fantastic story. They're not the most aesthetically watchable team in the tournament, but my, they know how to play. They know when to keep the ball. They know when to do things. And I think that will pose England a lot of problems, particularly if they don't get an early goal.
Let's hear from an Iceland player who knows many of the potential Premier League opposition very well, Swansea City midfielder Gylfi Sigurdsson.
It's fantastic to play a team like England. And we said, when we've seen the, how the group stages work and who plays who afterwards, if we were to get to England, it would be the perfect game. And we got England, so we're really looking forward to it.
So, Tom, Gylfi Sigurdsson has described it as the perfect match. It's the one all the Iceland players wanted. And I was reading some of the quotes after. Some of them said, you know, as youngsters, we would support England at major championships as well.
Yeah, I mean, we received a follow-up piece from Johannes, who's the Iceland reporter here in France. And it's not often I edit a piece and start welling up, but I wasn't far off with this one. He was talking about how back home, the coverage of the tournament and of the team has even overshadowed the upcoming presidential elections in Iceland, which are on Saturday.
So 2 days before the game.
Football tournament overshadows presidential election.
Wow. Okay, the other game that we're going to talk about in this section, Italy against Spain, probably the most glamorous of all the round of 16 ties, if you like, with two conventional huge names.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously a repeat of the last final. They also met in 2008, last eight quarterfinals. We could actually have a repeat of the last two finals. If Spain and Germany were to win their round of 16 ties, they would then meet in the last eight. I think Spain-Italy, yeah, it's going to be sensational. I'm lucky enough to be going with my girlfriend who's coming over from London.
Nice.
So that is a good timing.
That's very good timing indeed. So what's going to be interesting as well, Chris, is that Alvaro Morata now has 3-3, but he'll come up against players he knows very well from Juventus.
Yeah, he called them tactically perfect, actually, did Morata in the post-match after the defeat to Croatia. That defeat came on the day that it was announced he was leaving Juventus to go back to Real Madrid. So there's a wonderful narrative with him. You have to feel a little sorry for Italy. You win your group and then you come up against Spain and you're in the bottom half of the draw. Spain, for me, looked like the best team in the tournament until probably about 30 minutes into that Croatia match. And then Croatia were able to exploit them without Luka Modric. And I think it's going to be a lot closer than it was in the final 4 years ago when Spain won 4-0. It's at the Stade de France as well. So not just is it the biggest game in the round of 16, it's also in the biggest stadium. So it's going to be quite a night.
So who's going through?
Do you know what? I think Italy might.
I'm going to say Spain, just to be different to Chris.
We'll talk more about Croatia later on in the show as well, because we'll be speaking to our correspondent based with the team, Elvir. But first, let's hear from Stefan Potter. We're going to focus on all things Germany.
Follow UEFA Euro 2016 on the go.
Not convincingly cleared, and there's Müller. Wouldn't you just know it?
It is Bale. It's the second for Wales.
Download the official app now.
Stefan, welcome along to the podcast.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Let's talk about Germany. I hate to use the cliche, but they did qualify for the round of 16. With real efficiency, what have you made to their campaign so far?
Yeah, the route might have been efficient, but the bracket which they are now, that's surely another story. So far, they are very pleased with what they've done. Before the tournament, there's been a lot of talk about possibly shaky defense. Now they haven't conceded a single goal, and the problems are a little bit more in attack. But overall, they are very pleased with what they've done.
Do you expect to see many changes for the Slovakia game in the knockout stages?
I don't think a lot of things will change for the next game because Joachim Löw has already mentioned. He expects a similar defensive play by Slovakia as Northern Ireland lineup, so dropping deep, looking for counterattacks. Against Northern Ireland, the Germany lineup worked quite well. They had a lot of chances, they just didn't take them. So I think it will be Gomez up front again.
Stefan, against Northern Ireland, Germany created a lot of good opportunities, mainly denied by the goalkeeper. But are there concerns that Germany aren't taking their chances when presented in front of goal?
In the first two games, they had a lot of problems creating those chances against deep-sitting teams. They were quite happy with creating a lot of chances against Northern Ireland. And if you look at Thomas Müller, who has not scored a single Euro goal, but has scored 10 World Cup goals so far, Joachim Löw said he's pleased that he's getting those chances and he's sure he'll take them at a certain point of time. So far they are rather pleased that they created the chances. Now, if the next game they are not going to take them as well, they might start worrying.
There was something that you highlighted on Twitter as well that was very interesting. Benedikt Hrvatiš replaced in the first team by Joshua Kimmich at right back, and Hrvatiš came out on social media to say that the manager had made the right decision in replacing him with Kimmich, the youngster from Bayern.
He's gotten a lot of praise from both coaches for this as well. But I mean, the difference in the game going forward, it was obvious. Kimmich, he could have had 3 assists had it not been for wayward finishing. But I have my doubts if Joachim Löw will play him against Italy or Spain in a potential quarterfinal, even though some have compared him to the young Philipp Lahm.
Stefan, Germany yet to concede, and with 2 wins from their 3 group games, what are the expectations back in Germany on the national team, do you think?
Well, as I've said before, the expectations are always very, very high. I mean, people are not thrilled by the team so far. That's what I've heard from back home in Germany. The first 2 games, they have been very rocky, very difficult, and people have liked the third game a lot better, but they are still a little bit doubtful about how far the team can go. But it was the same thing in Brazil 2 years ago.
And we've seen Kimmich come in. We've got a couple of other youngsters in that Germany squad, in Julian Weigl, Leroy Sané in particular. Do you expect to see any of those make a notable contribution in this tournament or get much game time?
Today we've learned that had Boateng not been injured, he had to be taken off for Hrvatiš. There might have been another attacking substitution in the Northern Ireland game, so it's not ruled out. But Löw has also mentioned before that he says all those young players, they have the quality, but playing in an important tournament game, that's another story. So I don't think he'll be too keen to introduce a lot of more younger players.
Stefan, Germany are in the tough half of the draw, if you like. How far do you see them getting?
I've said before the tournament, I see them in the semi-final. But now, with the quarterfinal looming against Spain or Italy, they can easily go out against either of those teams. And they played Slovakia in a late May friendly, which they lost 3-1. And so I don't really think there'd be an upset in the round of 16 match. But the quarterfinal could be a really tough one.
Stefan, great to get you on the show and enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Thank you, Rob.
For the latest news from inside the team camps, go to Euro2016.com.
Okay, let's talk about Hungary against Belgium now. That game on Sunday, the 26th of June. Hungary through, playing out that 3-3 incredible game with Portugal, and we'll talk about that shortly. But Belgium are into the round of 16, Tom. And impressive since that very disappointing opening game that loss to Italy.
They look like they're sort of coming to the boil nicely, actually. We all know that they've got a host of great players, but perhaps haven't really seen them gel. In the World Cup as well, a couple of years ago, they struggled and they started very slowly, as you said. And Jan Vertonghen came out after that game and said how much they needed to stick together, and they really have done. They've bounced back. They tweaked a few things tactically, which I think we've discussed in previous shows. It seems to have paid off. And yeah, they've got a winnable round of 16 tie, certainly.
Do you think it's right that there's expectation on them to do better? I mean, Belgium traditionally hasn't had major international success, but given this group of players.
Yeah, there's that phrase, golden generation, which is what England felt that they had sort of maybe 10 years ago or so, in the real midst of that golden generation. And I don't think there can be any doubt that this is Belgium's golden generation, the best team, the best squad they've had in a long, long time, if not ever, perhaps. So yeah, I think they need to get to the latter stages for sure, especially considering that they're on the more favourable side of the draw. I think they'll be looking at the semi-finals at least, and then they're only two games away.
There wasn't maybe the expectation within the squad, and you try and play it down because there's teams like Germany and Spain. Well, not in your half of the draw. It's Hungary, Northern Ireland, Wales, Portugal, Croatia, Poland and Switzerland. That they're the second-ranked team in the world, and I think certainly the Belgian press and the Belgian fans now, they do look much better. They look much more fluid.
So we're expecting a semi-final?
At least.
Interesting how Hungary have done. Zoltán Gyurcsány's goal, by the way, incredible in that game with Portugal. And Balázs got a couple as well. As well, the captain himself, Zsuzsák, said after the game, "We are exceeding all expectations and dreams." On the same day, it is France against the Republic of Ireland. And Tom, I think with maybe even 6-7 minutes to go, I don't think anyone was expecting that to be around a 16 tie, in terms of Republic of Ireland, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Wes Houlihan missed that great chance, and I think Ireland maybe thought their chance was over then, but very soon after that, he teed up Brady for the winning goal. I bumped into our reporter who was at the game, and he said it was one of the best occasions he's ever reported on. He said it was absolutely incredible, and the scenes looked unbelievable, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was an Italy team that did have changes because they had already qualified. But I suppose Robbie Brady was at the centre of so much of the attention after, and rightly so, for scoring that winner with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, there were some great snaps of him and his, I think it was his girlfriend,
yeah,
and his brother as well, was
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Going over to the stands, and that was, yeah, I mean, that was brilliant. Roy Keane as well, some great pictures of him smiling.
Smiling?
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I know, yeah, I was surprised to see that.
Well, let's hear from another man who couldn't take the smile off his face, Robbie Brady, speaking to our reporter Paul Bryan after the game.
I'm a bit lost of words, really. Adrenaline has me drained now after the celebration itself, but it's what dreams are made of, you know what I mean? This is what I always grew up wanting to do, and what thousands of people are here to see, you know what I mean? And they didn't get the chance to go out and do it, so I'm ecstatic at the moment. I'm really, really delighted. It's it, last 16, knockout stage now, so we need to go and give it our all, get prepared now for the French, and hopefully we can go and do a job there too.
Ireland grabbing one of those best third place spots, but Chris, they take on the hosts.
Yes.
What a difficult prospect that could prove to be.
Yeah, I think it'll be an amazing occasion in Lyon. The L'Équipe, the morning after Ireland's win, talking about let the party start once more. They're big fans of the Irish supporters, as I think everyone here is in France. Great colour. Talking about Ireland's collective strength, which I think is their main attribute. Tom mentioned Houlihan there, though. It was a brilliant ball for Brady. He scored that fabulous goal against Sweden. I think he is the person that might be able to unlock that French defence. They are, of course, the favourites, but there is that World Cup playoff as well, what, 6 years ago now, off ahead of the World Cup in 2010, which didn't go Ireland's way. And I'm sure that'll be talked about a lot in the build-up. And whether that gives them an extra boost if they need it, I don't know, ahead of what is going to be an enormous occasion.
Just a little aside there, that Chris mentioned L'Équipe, the sports newspaper in France. Yeah. I saw their team of the group stage today. Their ratings really are incredibly, incredibly low.
So they're famously low.
Yeah,
famously
are they? Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, because even the team in the group stage, there was 6.5 averages in there.
Yeah, L'Équipe is famously demanding, let's put it like that. We've seen a bit of rotation from the France team as well, Tom. Do you think we're going to see pretty much the team we saw in like maybe their first game against the Republic, with Giroud and Payet back in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I reckon Deschamps knows exactly what he's doing. Not necessarily all the locals do, but some of his real big guns, he wanted to keep them on their toes. And I mean, Pogba's performance in the third game was absolute vindication for Deschamps, I thought. He was absolutely brilliant, certainly for the first half.
Having been left out for the second.
Exactly, yeah. I've no doubt that he'll start, and Griezmann will start, and Payet will start.
There you go, Ireland. That's the task ahead of you. Next up, let's hear from Elvir Islamovic, our journalist with the Croatia team.
For the best coverage and the latest news, follow the @UEFAEuro account on Twitter.
Elvir, great to get you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
I'm sure it's been a crazy few days for the Croatia team, Elvir, because they've beaten the European champions in Spain, the reigning European champions. What was that like?
Yeah, actually, I'll start from myself. I was pretty much in shock after the match, because I wasn't expecting that, especially after I saw lineups 75 minutes before the kickoff, and I was looking and I saw five new players. I mean, we expected to play without Modric, who is slightly injured, and Mandzukic, but you know, five new players against the title holders in a match, you know, where you want to win a group. So it was like, oh my God, he's giving up from this. So he and just in that moment, 75 minutes before the kickoff, the Germany ended their match and they won. So it meant that Croatia already qualified. So I was thinking, okay, he saw the result, and now, you know, he won just to rest some players for the round of 16. So this was a really incredible scenario for us all. So it was really a moment to remember. I mean, and then after I did a couple of interviews and with the players, it was brilliant, really brilliant atmosphere, and all in positive shock.
Ivan Perisic got the winner in that game as well. I mean, he's been one of the stars of the tournament so far, Elvir.
It's a strange situation in Croatia because, especially media, are always prizing like Modric and Rakitic, the main stars, but nobody is really talking about the main star in the last couple of years. Actually, he's the best scorer in from Croatia qualifying stage. He scored 6 goals and he's playing brilliant. And now in the first match he hit a post, and it was just his announcement. Okay, guys, I'm starting to score from the second match. So he scored in the second, and he scored now against Spain, and he also had an assist, great cross from the left side. So he's really warming up, I think. So I hope we can see him even better in against Portugal. And he's a bit shy when he's talking to the media. I know he don't want to talk about his own play. He want to talk about the team play. He was man of the match against Spain. So I asked him immediately after the match. I asked him, okay, you received like a award of that prestige award, and is it something special to you in a match against title holders? And he said, I don't want to talk about me, about myself and my game. I want to talk about team play. We are brilliant. And, you know, you never know what can happen in the knockout stage. You know, you don't have opportunities to make a mistake there. Every mistake could be fatal for the team. But what I saw in the last three matches, in the last three Croatian matches, is something I didn't see for maybe last 20 years. It was since the famous generation with Šuker, Boban and Prosinečki. So I really expect much from this team.
We know that Luka Modric missed that game through injury, and he's a doubt for the round of 16 game, but no serious injury. We're just waiting to see what happens with that. But nonetheless, Elvir, he could come up against some of his Real Madrid teammates, and most notably Cristiano Ronaldo, when Croatia play Portugal in the round of 16.
I want to say something about Modric meeting his teammates. It was the case now against Spain when he met Sergio Ramos, his captain. It was really emotional after the match because Ramos, there is one great anecdote from that match. Maybe it's not well known, but you know that Ramos missed a penalty in the late stage of the match, and it was Luka Modric who actually jumped from the bench, and he actually called the captain Dario Srna and told him, like, okay, I know which side is going to pick. He's going to pick. So tell the goalkeeper to give him instructions. So Srna went to the goalkeeper just before Ramos took the penalty kick, and he told him actually what side he will choose. So he received instructions for Luka Modric, and it was a great anecdote. After the match, Ramos came to greet Modric, and they were talking about that penalty a little bit. So it was I didn't hear the chat, but it was something like, okay, why did you say how am I going to take the penalty kick? And Ramos told Modric, so Modric was laughing, yeah, but we won. Yeah, they spent like 15 minutes after the final whistle in the tunnel. Kovacic also joined them, who is also playing for Real Madrid.
I mean, Ante Čačić made numerous changes for the win over Spain. Interestingly, Elvir, do you think any of those who came into the team could start against Portugal, have done enough to impress the head coach?
His decision to bring in 5 new players is mostly to rest the key players from the first 11. So if there will be any change for this match, will be probably in attack. Kalinic put some great performance against Spain, scored the goal with his heel, but besides that, he was really doing well through the whole match. And Mandžukić, he didn't perform on his top level in this tournament, and he has some slight injury. So he's for a few days now, he's having an individual training. So I don't know if he's not be 100% ready. I can guess that Čačić will not take a risk, and he'll put Kalinic in attack.
So whereabouts are the Croatia team based?
in the Deauville Hotel Barrière du Golf. It's by the golf famous golf course in the region. But there's another anecdote, very, very interesting to say, related to that hotel, that, you know, Hercule Poirot is a fictional detective from Agatha Christie novels. When they were shooting the TV series, one of the episodes haven't actually happened there on the golf course, and they were staying in that hotel where Croatia is based now. So, I mean, there is a good connection between the Hercule Poirot and the Croatia coach Ante Čačić. They all wear glasses and they all have mustaches. Two mysteries actually. One was solved here with Hercule Poirot. He solved the murder case. Now I hope Čačić will solve this Euro case actually, and then he can go all the way to the final.
So what have the Croatia team actually been up to in their spare time?
Yeah, I mean they don't go out too much, but the weather was actually not on their side here, because the last 2 weeks it was mostly raining, so they stay in a hotel. But they have a really nice games room, and they have Marcelo Brozovic, midfielder, international midfielder. He's actually dominating the table tennis. Nobody can beat him. Kramaric, forward, told me just recently that he heard, like, I don't know if it's true, but it's a good story. Then when Brozovic signed for Internazionale, when he moved to his new house, actually the first table he got was a table for table tennis, but instead of the real one, actually. So probably he was eating from the table tennis in the first couple of weeks or days, I don't know. But the champion in the PlayStation in the basketball game is Vedran Čoruka, who is unbeatable in basketball. I was there doing the interview with Mateo Kovacic, who just came to us to the interview, and he was very happy, and asked him, okay, Mateo, what's going on? And he said, I just beat Vedran Čoruka. He was unbeatable so far, and I beat him in basketball. And I asked him, okay, probably Vedran will wait now outside for you just to get a rematch. And he said, oh, no, I will not play anymore with him. That's enough for me. I have one victory, and that's all.
Elvir, thanks for coming on the show. We've loved having you on the podcast.
Thank you for calling me, and I hope to have another chat after the round of 16.
To keep up to date with the latest from UEFA Euro 2016, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or follow us on SoundCloud.
Okay, two more games to go. Chris and Tom are still with me as well. But Tom, before we talk about Wales, Northern Ireland, two teams that you have seen in the flash since the start of the tournament, it's worth mentioning Cristiano Ronaldo, who will come up against Croatia. He's broken another record.
He broke two, Rob. He scored, became the first player to score in four Euros, and he also broke the record for most appearances at Euro final tournaments. So he's had 17. He overtook Thuram and Van der Sar. What a riposte. He was receiving a bit of criticism, wasn't he, after the first couple of games? Unfairly, I think. I mean, he really is a talisman in every sense of the word. He had 17 shots in the first two games. That third game, he silenced everyone, didn't he? A couple of goals, one assist. And that flick was absolutely amazing. It was ridiculous, wasn't it? On the half volley to do that was just insane.
One of the goals of the round. Let's hear from Cristiano Ronaldo now.
It's another record. But like I always say, these records are broken naturally. Obviously, I'm not going to say that I'm not happy. It's another two records, but the priority, like I said before, was qualifying. We managed that, and now we're going to play a good team, but I think it will be 50-50. Whoever plays better will go through to the next round.
Tom, Wales, Northern Ireland. Wales winning their group ahead of England, sparking wild celebrations with Ashley Williams at the centre of it after they beat Russia so convincingly. I mean, they're looking very good, Wales.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone has impressed me as much, relatively speaking. I thought they would come here, and I admit, I thought they were the plucky underdogs, really. But they've been incredible. The quality in that team, you know, there's so much quality in that team. We've been asking reporters for the website to provide their sort of their player of the group stage for their team. And Mark Pittman, the Wales reporter, picked out Joe Allen. And that sparked a debate in the office, because we thought Gareth Bale's the obvious choice. He scored three goals. And then someone else thought Aaron Ramsey's the obvious choice.
Isn't just one guy.
Absolutely really. Not, yeah. And I mean, the defence have been great as well. Chester against England, that was as good a performance as I've seen in the whole tournament. I think Northern Ireland are going to have their work cut out against Wales. Northern Ireland against Germany I was at this week, and they didn't really, they didn't offer much going forward. Obviously, it was a very difficult task for them. I think Wales will be too strong, too much quality.
Let's hear from the midfielder now, Joe Allen, speaking after their win over Russia.
Oh, what a night. One I'll never forget, you know. I thought we started the game, you know, so well. And from start to finish, you know, we thoroughly deserved the win. You know, and to win in style like that is, you know, is a special moment for Welsh football, I think.
Joe Allen speaking there. Meanwhile, Northern Ireland, narrowly beaten 1-0 by Germany. That scoreline kept down thanks to the heroics of their goalkeeper, Michael McGovern.
You know, obviously with the level playing and opposition they're playing against and the sort of microscope you're under here at the Euros, it was, you know, definitely the most enjoyable game and the best game I've played. This level and thing playing at this level is something I relish.
Quick final word about your fans. Once again, absolutely magnificent, despite the fact you're under the cosh for so much of the game.
Yeah, amazing. They've been absolutely amazing. You know, the first game we played poorly and they stuck right behind us. And, you know, I was just saying there, it was cliche, but honestly, the best fans in the world have loved playing in front of them. And we don't want them to go home yet. We want them to stay till Saturday or Sunday and we can go again.
And his contract at Hamilton Academical expires in just a few days' time. I think his agent's phone might be ringing right this very second. Chris, also on the 25th of June, to get the round of 16 underway, Switzerland-Poland. And I suppose Poland fans might be wondering why Robert Lewandowski hasn't started firing yet.
He hasn't, but his team is still through fairly comfortably. They didn't win the group. They ran Germany incredibly close, same amount of points. And actually, it might be a good thing because, yes, they've got Switzerland, who are a tough, well-organised team, but they're in that top half of the group, top half of the draw, I should say, which we've mentioned. But for a reason, they're one of those that you could see going far. Blaszczykowski's goal against Ukraine was one of the moments of the group stage for me. It was a brilliant ball from Milik and then a fantastic finish. And Thomas Müller hasn't scored either, given how many goals Müller and Lewandowski scored for Bayern. But if they're winning without Lewandowski scoring, that has to be a good thing for Poland.
Very true, Chris. Switzerland, of course, finishing their group stage campaign by holding the host France to a 0-0 draw. For the end of the podcast, Tom, a couple of talking points. We have to talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Here's what he said, actually, prior to the game against Belgium, which Sweden lost 1-0.
The last game for Sweden in Euro will be my last game with Sweden. And I will not participate in the Olympics because my last game will be the last game Sweden does in this Euro. So let's hope it goes as long as possible. To finish in a disappointment, never. Because I am very proud to be the captain of Sweden and what I have achieved. So I want to take this moment and thanks all the supporters because they made it possible for me to achieve what I have achieved. So without them would not be possible. So wherever I go, wherever I come, I will always bring the Swedish flag with me and stand with it. So disappointment doesn't exist.
Retired from international football, he applauded the fans at the end of the game, Tom. And I mean, what a servant he has been to his country.
Yeah, unbelievable. He's been there 15 years, I think it is now. And he's just another talisman, isn't he, really? He's just that team. He's going to really struggle to bounce back, but I mean, I was at the under-21s last summer that Sweden won, and there's a few players coming through there. So I think, you know, there's still hope for them in the future, but it's going to take a long time to get over the loss of a player like that. And he's provided so much entertainment, hasn't he? He's just, it's not professional of me to say this, but I like fun things in football and fun players, and he is a really fun player. There's always a story with him.
Yeah, he's one of those that, it's the oldest cliche, but you would pay the admission fee alone to see Zlatan. It's not just what he's done at Euro. I think it's even getting Sweden to as many final tournaments, including this year, 3 goals against Denmark in the playoff round. But they're going to have to rebuild pretty quickly. You know, World Cup qualifying starts in September and they've got France and the Netherlands in their group for Russia. So a big blow, certainly. And I'll miss him just as much as I think every football fan will.
Okay, guys, let's have your surprises now. We always do this. Our surprises for the round of 16.
We did well last time.
Yeah, so Chris, you predicted that Slovakia would get a point against England.
Well, I must say we did have to check the last podcast to exactly remind ourselves of who said what. But yeah, I said they'd get a point and they
did. We'll talk about Tom's brilliant premonitions in a moment. But Chris, who are you going for? What are you saying for match day four, I should say, the round of 16?
If I'd said this at the start, I think it wouldn't have been a surprise. But the way they played in the group stage, I think Portugal might beat Croatia. Does that count as a surprise?
We'll allow it. We'll allow it. But barely, Chris.
I don't think it does.
It doesn't at all. Tom, you have correctly guessed ages ago that Ireland would beat Italy in their final group game.
Correct.
And you want to talk about Mario Gomez?
I also foresaw Mario Gomez scoring all of 1 goals. And I think I tipped Croatia, I did say Croatia get a point against Spain, but they got three.
They went one better than that. Yeah. So, okay, so you're surprised for the round of 16. What's interesting watching Tom asking him to pick out a surprise is that he can't remember the fixtures. Like, he sees them, and like a goldfish, they drop out of his brain. So you've got them literally on your lap, on your phone. What's the surprise of the round of 16?
In many ways, these aren't surprises anymore. These are things that are definitely going to happen.
Because we're so accurate. Yeah.
Yes. I think the Republic of Ireland are going to win. Perhaps not in 90 minutes, but I think they will win.
That is a huge shout. Remember where you heard it first.
Bear in mind, I am being forced to make a prediction. I have to choose one, and that's the one I'm going for.
And following on, it would only be fair, therefore, Rob, to ask for your surprise prediction from the round of 16.
Well, I would give you one, but we are out of time. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us on the podcast today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, or you can listen to the show on Audio Boom as well. And if you do have time, please leave us a review. We'll be back for the quarterfinals.
Thanks for listening to the official UEFA Euro 2016 podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes or follow us on SoundCloud.